أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا عبد القاسم محمد. قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم صلوات على محمد سورة ياسين And this ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to mankind, to the children of Adam, and saying, Did we not take an oath from you, O children of Adam, that you shall not obey Shaitan? He is your open enemy, that you shall obey me. This is the straight path. So, our subject was to recognize Shaitan, to know the means and ways that he uses to misguide people. Now we have been through the Shaitan's existence, why Allah kept him alive. Then we went through some of the sifat and attributes of Shaitan that Allah has mentioned in the Quran for us. And then after that we went into the different means that he uses to misguide mankind throughout history. So now when we went through this certain things, obviously there are other things also, but because the fact that we only have these 2 days left, I would now like to come to a conclusion on this issue. You have heard the ayat that I've read for you before about Shaitan's address that he mentioned in the Quran. Shaitan mentioned where he lives and he has said, لَأَقُدَنَّ لَهُمْ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ I will wait for them on Sirati Mustaqeem. Shaitan lives on Sirati Mustaqeem. He lives on Sirati Mustaqeem. Wherever you will find Sirat-e-Mustaqim, you will find Shaitan. Because that is where he misguides people. Now I just want to mention in these 2 days how he does that. So that we understand historically also how did Shaitan and what means he uses to misguide people. Allah had sent the prophets to guide the people towards Allah. Shaitan's mission was to misguide them. So, Anbiya were doing something, Shaitan was doing something. Anbiya were inviting the people to Allah. Shaitan is pulling them away from Allah. Both of them. And you see that in order to establish the principles of Islam, it wasn't established overnight. It took centuries for the prophets to work in order to establish the principles or the usul-e-deen that we know of. The concept of Tawheed wasn't established overnight. It took a long time for the prophets to establish Tawheed in the minds of people. To establish the fact that God exists took a long time for the prophets prophets to establish that. And Shaitan was opposing that, and hence he was trying to convince the people otherwise. So now this battle that took place, I just want to give a synopsis of it today so that we can understand what is Shaitan doing today and in what form is he coming today to misguide the people. So when we began in the history, we see that in the time of Adam, from Adam you see two Prophet Nuh and all the way to Prophet Ibrahim. The question, the issue that the prophets were working to establish, you see, they did not speak about prayers, they didn't speak about fasting, they did not speak about akhirat also, they didn't speak about hereafter, they didn't even speak about prophethood, they didn't even speak about the oneness of Allah. If you look at the tabligh and the propagation in those days of Islam, you will see that the only thing that the prophets from Adam all the way to Ibrahim were saying was that there is a God. They're trying to say there is a creator, there is a God. Because the question in the mind of the people was that there's no such thing as God. It's just a lie. There's no such thing as God. There's no God. In the general public, they could not fathom the fact that there could be a God. They're denying the fact that there is. They said there's no God. And hence, if you look at it, from the time of Adam till the time of Prophet Nuh, you'll see that in that time, the concept of God was not there. And because the concept of God was not there, the concept of a false God was also not there. You see, it wasn't that, for example, people didn't believe in Allah, so they believed in the moon and the sun and the sky and these things. No, they didn't believe in anything. There was no concept of God. They couldn't fathom it. So when Nuh came and the people were destroyed and now Nuh's children remain and the children of Nuh, they came about, then you see the concept of God was established at that time. Meaning everyone from then on believed that yes, there is a God. They all believe, because when the storm came and the flood came, destroyed all those people who did not believe in God. You see, now after that, the concept of God was there amongst those who remained behind. And in their children and their children, and hence the idea that God exists was there. People accepted the fact that there is God. You see? So until Prophet Nuh, you see, Shaitan never came to people and said, look, the sun is your God, the moon is your God. He never made a false God, because there was no need to. Because there was no belief in the real God also. People did not believe in any God. So there was no need for a false God. The idea of a false God came when the concept of Godhood was established in the minds of people. When the Anbiya worked and they spent a lot of time in order to establish the concept that there is a God, then Shaitan came to them and said, oh, okay. Now he didn't want to argue against that, because now people will believe it. If he said, no, there is no God, they'll say, no, there has to be a God. Because the Anbiya worked so hard to establish that in the minds of people, yes, there is a God. So now when the people accepted the fact that there is God, then Shaitan came to them and said, the sun is your God. The moon is your God. You see, then false gods came. And the reason false gods came is because there was belief in God. If there was no belief in God, there wouldn't There won't be idols, there won't be a sun, there won't be a moon, because the concept of God wasn't there. But when the concept of God was established, now Shaitan said, okay, you know, the sun is your God. And people said, oh, the sun is our God, so they started worshiping the sun. He said, the moon is your God. Oh, the moon is our God, so let's start worshiping the moon. So you had the sun worshippers, you had the moon worshippers. That's why in the time of Ibrahim, now he had to establish the fact that the sun A cannot be your God, neither can the moon be your God. So then Ibrahim's time came, he came to those people in order to establish this thinking in the mind that moon cannot be a God. So he came and he said, oh, is moon the God? You know, I mean, exactly, the moon God had, you know, their place of worship, the sun God had their place of worship. You know, the moon God had their center, and the sun God had their center. So now, Ibrahim had to go and now tell them that, listen, neither this center is right, neither their center is right, right? Neither your belief is right, and that. Now, how could he do that? Now, if he's an outsider coming and saying, you all are wrong, they'll be like, you know, kafir. So, he came to the sun god worshippers and said, who's God? They said, oh, the sun is the God. He looked at us, oh, is that the God? So the sun worshippers were happy that Ibrahim is on their side. You know, he's now their member, you know. One more member in their membership, you know. A sun worshipper, you know. So they're all happy and this and that. Now when the night came, then Ibrahim said, wait a minute, how can the sun be God? He should be there all the time, but he's gone. He fades away. Then they're like, what are you talking about? It's over. But he said, but your kufr makes sense. God cannot be fading away. You know, he proved them wrong. Then he went to the moon worshippers. Night came, he went to the moon worshippers. He said, who's your God? He said, look, this is the moon. You know, the moon is the God. So when the day came, he said, wait, where did God go? You know, and then they realized the stupidity of their belief. And he wanted to establish that. But how did the moon become God? How did the sun become God? For what reason? The reason the moon became God and the sun became God is because the prophets and anbiya worked to establish the fact that there is a God. Because the people believe that there is a God, all Shaitan said is that, where is he? Where is he? Oh, the moon. Moon is the God. Sun is the God. You see, and this ideology came to the time of Prophet Musa. It came to the time of Prophet Musa now. When Musa's time came, you see, now the issue with the people of Musa was that, okay, if there is a God, we want to see him. We want to see him. Right, that's what they said. It says, لَن نُؤْمِنَا حَتَّى نَرَ اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. We will never believe until you show us who Allah is, who's Allah. Show us Allah, live. We want to see him. You know, we want to see him. So, Musa said, listen, you can't see Allah. You know, but that didn't go into their minds, you know. I mean, Allah is not matter, Allah is not this, you know. I mean, you know, those people, you know, were thick-headed, you know. They didn't know those, you know, arguments. They were like, you know, so then Allah said, all right, bring them. Bring them. So Musa, now, why did they ask this question? Let me just tell you this before I explain the incident. Why did they ask this question? You see, before Musa's time, all the Anbiya that came, whether it's Adam, Idris, you know, Nuh, and Ibrahim, and Ismail, everyone who came, they all said, whenever they spoke about Allah, they said, Allah revealed this verse for us. Allah revealed this message for us. Allah sent this message for us. They all said that. But in Musa's time, Musa was the first one who said, I spoke to Allah. You know, Musa spoke with Allah. Allah spoke with him. So they said, well, if you spoke with him, you want to see him. You know, if you spoke with him, if you speak with him, you want to see him now. Let me see him. You want to, we all want to see him. Now Moses explained to them, listen, you can. And they did not agree. They said, no, we won't. They insisted. They said, we'll never believe you until you show us Allah. So Allah said, alright, bring him. And Musa, he took them to the mountain. He took a group of them to the mountain. Now Allah describes that scene. Read it. This is what happens when you want to see Allah or when you say you see Allah. Allah says, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبَّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ When Allah manifested Himself, not Himself, but His power, His glory. When His glory, when its glory and power manifested itself on the mountain, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّنْ The mountain crumbled. The mountain crumbled to pieces. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا And Musa fell down fainted. Musa fainted and he fell down. I mean, see what happens to those people who say we want to see Allah, who make this insistence that we want to see Allah. Allah is saying, see, there are three things. There's the mountain, there's Musa and the people. Allah just gives the result of two things. The mountain and Musa. Allah says the mountain crumbled, Musa fainted. Now what happened to the people was so bad that it wasn't worth mentioning. Allah didn't even mention that in the Quran. What happened to them? In other words, they wanted to see Allah. You see, and in any ideology, anywhere where people say, you see, the mistake is that they wanted to see Allah. They thought they could see Allah. But then what happened? Allah says this is the ending of those people. This is what's going to happen to those people. So now, when you look at that, now come forward. Musa's time now. Musa, he brought his people out from Pharaoh's rule. You know, Pharaoh was an oppressor. Now Musa's people, meaning Bani Israel, had been living in Egypt for 400 years since Prophet Yusuf established them there. Prophet Yusuf established them there, and since then for 400 years they were living there. And when this Pharaoh came, you know, obviously in those years they became slaves. They ended up as slaves and they were being used as slaves and they were being oppressed. So in that time, when Musa took them out of that slavery and brought them out of Egypt, and they saw so many things, right? I mean, Musa do a lot of miracles, you know? And they didn't just see him do miracles, but they were a part of those miracles. I mean, imagine, if you had to walk into the river where there's a path where, you know, both the sides of the river opened up, and there's water on one side and water on the other side, and you're walking through the river, you know, looking at the water. Imagine, you have seen it, right? You witnessed it. You were part of that miracle. You saw the Moses, it was right there. You were walking through it. They all saw it. They all went through it. And when they came to the other side, you know, when they came to the other side, after witnessing those miracles and everything, through the power of God, they witnessed it, right? Imagine this. Now they all believe in God. Friends, understand, they believe in God. Everyone at that time believed that there is a God. Now they came to the other side. Musa, he said, alright, you all stay here. Allah has called me. Allah wanted me to come, so I'm going. Right? So he went. He said, I'll be back in 30 days. So, you know, the one thing about the Bani Israel, even today, they're punctual. At the same time, they mean the time, right? Punctual. It wasn't a new habit. It was always there in them, right? So when 30 days passed, and the 31st day came, they all were like, oh, Musa's late. Musa's late, that's it. It's over. Something happened to him, otherwise he would be back. If he's a prophet, he would be back. Allah kept them for 10 extra days. Allah kept them for 10 extra days, really. Imagine this, my friends, and I'm giving this. In 10 days, what did they do? He wasn't gone for a long time, 10 days. He said, I'll be back in 30 days, but he came back in 40 days. In 10 days, Samari came on the 31st day, he said, listen, my people, Musa's not coming back. They said, how do you know? Because he's a prophet, he never lies. He said, 30 days, not 31. You know? They're like, okay, then what should we do? He said, but we cannot leave God. We need to worship God. You see, we need to worship God. He said, all right, let's all worship God. Even if Musa has gone, we'll still worship God. Friends, in 10 days, they went from believing in what Musa said to making their own idols and shirk. In 10 days' time, they left the message of Musa, they went away. This is Musa's people, really. In 10 days they went. You see, I want you to understand that what training of character is. And give thanks to those who have trained characters and made such strong characters. Really, we need to give thanks to those who have trained us. Why? Musa's people, Allah kept Musa in Ghaibat for 10 days and Musa's people went astray. Allah has kept our Imam away for 1200 years, but the Shias are still on his back.
SubhanAllah.
Salli ala Muhammad.
This is a testimony to the training of Ahlul Bayt that they have given us. That after 1200 years, we haven't left that path and started worshipping other idols. In 10 days, Musa's people left him. Left his message and everything. And then what did they do? They made a cup. They made a cup. A cow of gold. Right? They made a cow of gold. And when Samari brought out this cup, I want you to see the words that he used, because it's very important to understand, my friends. What did he say? He said, Hada ilahukum. This is your God. Wa ilahu Musa. And Musa's God. This is the God that Musa wanted us to worship. So let us worship it. They all started worshipping the cow. Why did they worship the cow? How did the cow become so important? And they had cows then. No one worshipped cows. Why did they worship a cow? How did a cow become God? How did a cow become God? My friends, the only way that the cow became God is because the concept of Godhood was established in the minds of people. Because people believed in God, all shaitan came and said, this is your God. So they believed it. Understand it? So they believed it. They accepted it. But you see, why did they go wrong? Why did they go astray? Here's what I want you to understand, my friends. What I want to say. My friends, that concept, we believe in God. Those people believed in God. And because of that belief, Shaitan came and brought a cow and said, okay, you believe in God, then this is your God. So they believed in the cow as God. The reason they believed in cow as a God, because they believed in God. You see, they had the faith in God, yes, God is there, but they didn't know who He is. So Shaitan brought him and said, this is God. So he used their own faith and own belief to misguide them. He used their own faith and belief to misguide them. In other words, you see, until God wasn't established, Shaitan opposed the existence of God. When God's existence was established in the hearts and minds of people, then Shaitan used that faith to bring false gods. In other words, this is how Shaitan misguides. Sometimes he opposes religion to misguide the people. Sometimes he uses religion to misguide the people. Understand this? Sometimes he opposes. When religion is not established, he opposes religion. But when deen is established, he uses deen to misguide the people. Just like when God wasn't established in the time of Noah, he never came and said, okay, there are false gods. Why would he even come with false gods? Why would even people believe, okay, you know, the cup is a god? Why would they believe that? Because there is no concept of God. But if the concept of God is there, then you can bring a cup and say that this is God. Then you'll be like, oh, okay, this is God. Because
Now you just need to bring a false god. That's all he needs to do. Bring someone false and that's it, you're misguided. And why are they misguided? Look at the people of Musa. The reason the people of Musa were misguided was that if they had understood, my friends, understand this, if they had understood that God cannot be seen and God is not made up of matter, then there's no way that shaitan can produce a cow and ask the people to worship, because they'll say that's not God because God cannot be seen. This is matter. This is not God. He can never misguide them. But because they believed in God, my friends, they believed in God, but the ideology that they had regarding God was vague and ambiguous. It wasn't clear, it wasn't sure, it wasn't certain, it was vague. A vague, yes, I believe in God. And when you have that vague ideology, anytime you have a belief that is vague, shaitan uses that to misguide you. If you want to protect yourself from shaitan, then whatever you believe in, you must have a clear ideology of what that is. If you do not have a clear ideology, then shaitan misguides you. Shalom. For example, anyone who says, yes, God can be seen. And we know, there are sahih hadiths we have. We don't have, but there are sahih hadiths. In sahih books, yeah. In sahih books, we have, you know, that. And you can go on me, we go to the other masjid and ask them, you know. Will we be able to see God? Yes, he'll be sitting on his throne, and he'll be a heavyweight too. And his weight will be crumbling the throne, bending the things of the throne, you know. The heavens are these. That when we go to the hereafter, we'll see God. Yes, he'll be there with his, you know, lightning face, you know. And he'll be so heavy on the throne that the throne will be buckling under him, you know. And then he will ask, you know, he'll send everyone to hell. And hell will say, listen, I'm not full yet. You know, send me some more people. And Allah will say, I don't have more to send you. I'm in Mazid, you know. Are there more? So then Allah will put his foot in hell. This is in Sahih books. You know, this is in Sahih books. Not in our books. We don't believe that. Why? Because neither is Allah made up of matter, or does he have anything to do with matter. He is the creator of matter. He is the creator of matter. How can he be flesh? Eyes can only see that which occupy matter. You know, we cannot see God. God cannot be seen by eyes. Right? God is felt by the heart, not seen by the eyes. You know, this is something we have to be clear on that. And when we are not clear on that, that's when shaitan comes and misguides us. Just like the people of Musa were saying. Understand? My friends, now I want to come forward now. That was Musa's time, and there are many things in between, you know, but really, because lack of time, we don't have time, I want to come forward to the time of our Prophet. Understand this? In the old days, in the days of the Anbiya, when Anbiya worked to establish the fact that there is God, that there is Allah, then you see, until then, shaitan did not bring false gods. When Allah was established in the minds and hearts of people, then he brought about false gods. Now, in the old days, when the prophets used to be killed, massacred, murdered, persecuted, you know, did you ever hear about a false prophet in the time of Prophet Nuh? There was no false prophet in the time of Prophet Nuh. There was no false prophet. Why? You want to become a prophet, you'll be dead. How would you want to become a prophet for? But it was in our prophet's time where being a prophet became profitable. You know? Being a prophet became profitable, right? I mean, our prophet had a rule, he was the ruler. And so others are looking and said, hey, it's good to be a prophet. You know? It's good to be a prophet. But in the days of Isa, if you claim to be a prophet, you're dead. You know? Or Musa, or all these people. All the prophets, if you were a prophet, you would be persecuted. But in the time of our prophet, when others saw that, hey, he's a ruler, meaning being a prophet means you can be a ruler, then people started becoming false prophets. Then we saw false prophets coming up, you know, and you had a line of them, like Musaylima, Aswad, and there was a lady also by the name of Shajjah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lady prophet, you know, she claimed to be a prophet. And they all claim, oh, we have revelation. Jibreel comes to us with wahi. Jibreel comes to us with wahi. He came to the revelation. That's what Musaylima said. That's what Shajjah said. And really, these people had followers. There are people who followed them. This Musaylima, he claimed to be a prophet. He had ayat. He used to read them out for people. This is the message I received today. And that lady, Sajjah, she also used to read them out. And they both said, you know, the other is a liar. The other is a liar, this and that, you know. So, you know, there was a meeting that was organized. Because the followers, they got together and said, listen, you know, we shouldn't be disunited, we need to unite. Right? Let's have a meeting and start to discuss, you know, how we can unite with these two centers, you know, these two parties. Right? They came forward and said, let's do that. Alright. So they met each other. Musaylima met Sajjah. You know? And you know, he said, so you claim to be a prophet? He said, yes. And she said, you claim to be a prophet? He said, yes. So she said, well, if you claim to be a prophet, can you read some ayat that Allah has sent you? So, you know, obviously, he's not a fool, you know, who became a prophet like that, Musaylima. He said, no, ladies first. So, you know, she started reading her verses. She said, I swear by the cow's milk and the whiteness of the milk and the energy that it gives and the things that it produces and some garbage like that. She read some verses out, you know, and after she read the verses out, now she says, your turn, you know. So now he started to read, I swear by the mountains and the stars and by this and by that and by this and some other swearing and this and that and some garbage he read. And both of them were so impressed with each other that they got married. You know? So this was a merger between the two religions. In-laws of each other, you know, they all became followers. Now the issue is, why are these people following such, you know, crack cases? Why are these people following such people? I mean, really, how can you follow such people? My friends, the only reason, understand this, the reason that these people are following people like Musaylima and Aswad and Sajjah and all these false claimants of prophethood, the only reason they're following is because the belief in prophethood has been established in the hearts and minds of people. People believe that they are messengers. Since they believe they are messengers, now all shaitan has to do is bring a false messenger. Because you believe they are messengers. You believe that there could be a fool. So if you believe there is a fool, so now all shaitan has to do is say that, oh, you know what? Yes, you all believe in prophet. This is your prophet. Look here. And you're like, oh, Rasulullah. You start worshiping. You see that even nowadays, in Ahmadiyya and all these movements that are there, what are these? Right, same thing. Because we believe in prophethood. Now, why are they converted? Again, same thing. If you are clear about what prophethood is, shaitan can never mislead you. If you're clear about what Nabuwat is, shaitan can never misguide you. But when you are vague, when your ideology is ambiguous, and you really do not know what a prophet is, that's when shaitan brings a false prophet. Understand? That's when shaitan brings a false prophet. The mistake that they made, who were misguided, the mistake that they made is that they never understood that you can never become a prophet. You have to be born a prophet.
never become a prophet. You have to be born a prophet. Because if you are born a prophet, then their lives are in front of us. If you are born a prophet, you will always be masoom and infallible.
Subhanallah.
If you say that, yes, you can become a prophet, then I can sin and do my crime all my life and say, okay, I'm a prophet now. Anyone can do that. But you have to be born a prophet. All prophets were born prophets. They were born and they never did anything that goes against Allah's wishes or Allah's religion. No prophet ever did anything that goes against, even when they didn't claim to be prophet. Since the time they're born until they claim to be a prophet, until that time no one ever said or did anything that goes against Allah's religion. This is why, if you believe that they are born prophets, then you will never be misguided. Because anyone who claims and says, I'm a prophet, says, oh, what were you doing in high school? You know? Oh, yeah, but I didn't inhale, you know? Come on, man. Yeah, for medical purposes, yes. You know? That was for medical purposes. You know, all your garbage and your laundry is going to come out. But if you're born a prophet, then you're masoom right from the start. Understand this? This is a belief in prophethood. If you believe in that, then you know that you can never be misguided. No one can come to you and say, I'm a prophet and you believe in him. Understand this? But until prophethood wasn't established, there were no false prophets. When prophethood was established, then shaitan brought false prophets. My friends, understand this. Now let's go to Imam. Let's go to Imam Ali. Now Imam Ali. Imam Ali, right? His hands were cuffed. He was dragged in the streets. His house was burned down. He was killed. Imam Hassan, same story. Imam Hussein, it's obvious. Now tell me, in Imam Ali's time, in Imam Hussein's time, Imam Hussein's time, Imam Ibn Ali's time, was there any false Imam that came and said, I'm an Imam Muslim? I mean, there are khulafa who came, that's for power. But were there any imam, anyone who claimed to be imam? Why would you? You would be dead. It's not profitable to be an imam. You claim to be imam, they'll kill you. Right? No one claimed to be a false imam. But when Imam Ja'far Sadiq's time came, when the sixth imam, seventh imam came, or eighth imam came around, Khums money was coming in. Now others were saying, oh, wait a minute, this is good. Right? I can have this following. I can have this khums. I can do this. Understand that? And so what they do? Then you had false imams. Abdullah Abtahi was the son of Imam Ja'far Sadiq. He claimed to be an imam. I'm the imam now. I'm the imam now. Why are you claiming to be imam? He knows he's not the imam. Why are you claiming to be imam? See, if it was in the time of Imam Hussein, would he do that? Of course not. He'd be dragged and he'll be killed. Right? Why would anyone do that at that time? But when it became profitable in dunya, in world, now everyone wants to become an imam. Why? Because there's benefit in it. There's worldly benefit in it. Now everyone wants to become an imam. False imams came about. But until Imam wasn't established, until Imam was established, there are no false imams. But when Imam became established, now there are false imams. You see how shaitan is working. When God wasn't established, he didn't say there's a fake God. But when the belief of God was established, then he brought about false gods. When prophethood wasn't established, there was no false prophet. But when prophethood was established, now he brought about false prophets. When imamah wasn't established, now you see there were no false imams. When imamah was established, now he brought about false imams. This is how shaitan works. First, he opposes religion to misguide the people. Then he uses religion to misguide the people. The same belief they have in prophethood, he is using that to misguide them. The same belief that you have in imamah, the same belief he is using that to misguide you. Same thing. So now any time, because at the time of the prophets were, my friend understand this, the prophets were what? They were the medium to Allah. Meaning people wanted to learn about Allah, they came to the Prophet. They wanted to recognize Allah, they came to the Prophets. So the Prophets were the ones who they recognized. These are the people who are speaking about Allah. Understand this. Now you came to the Imams. In the time of the Imams were the reference point. You go back to the Imam. You go there. And now you learn from them. So wherever Sirat-e-Mustaqim is learned from, wherever Sirat-e-Mustaqim is learned from, Shaitan will bring false prophets and false imams to stand on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Understand this, my friends? Shaitan will bring false prophets and false imams to stand on the side Sirat-e-Mustaqim. The prophets were there. He brought false prophets so that people can be misguided. Imams were there. He brought false imams so that the people can be misguided. Now we just have to see in our time, where do we go and learn about Islam?
Subhanallah.
Who do we go to learn about Islam? We do not go. There are no prophets here. Prophet for this finish. And Imam is in Ghaibat. Imam is Ghaib. Who do we go to? We go to the ulama to know about God, to learn about God, to learn about Allah. So if the ulama are the means of learning about Allah, then you can be sure that Shaitan is bringing false ulama to misguide the people.
Subhanallah.
Understand this, my friends. This is how we have to understand. In other words, so if Mawlana is the case, then the issue is that it is very easy now for Shaitan to say, okay, if this is the symbol, then I will bring a false one also. Now, if we want to protect ourselves, then we have to know who an alim is.
Subhanallah.
We need to know who an alim is. Otherwise, you see, if we have the wrong concept of an alim, then Shaitan has already misguided us. My friends, understand this. And I say this all the time. You know, if we have the wrong concept of an alim, for example, nowadays, and I'm going to say this very clearly, nowadays we have the concept who an alim is, you know, the things that Allah and Ahlul Bayt have mentioned, we don't follow that. We have made our own ways of recognizing alim. How do you recognize an alim? We recognize him by Amama and Amama. So you're not. Anyone who wears an Amama, alim. My friends, Amama is $9.99 at Walmart. It's $9.99 at Walmart. You can buy it there and wear it. Right? So for Shaitan to make to create a false alim, all it costs is $9.99. Right? That's all it costs Shaitan to create a fake alim. Put an Amama on his head and sit him down. Right? That's all because where in which ayah does it say, look at this and you know an alim by recognizing this? Which hadith does it say that? We made it ourselves. So if we made it, then Shaitan is misguiding us through that. He's misguiding us through that. Why? Because that's not the sign of an alim. Never, no hadith says that. No ayah does it say that. That he wears this, this is the thing. You know, this is why. Because we make this a symbol, now Shaitan will just bring someone in an Amama in front of you and you'll think that he's an Amama. And that's all you need. Now it's up to him to misguide you. My friends, we need to if we want to protect ourselves, just like we had the correct ideology about Tawheed, we have to have the correct ideology of Prophethood. And now you say, you know, but you know, like Maulana, you know, how can you say Mujtahid and Marajid, this and that? You know, how can they go astray and they be bad? My friends, let me tell you this. Right? How can there be a false marja? My friends, let me tell you this. You know, and they feel that, you know, this is being disrespectful, this and that. You know, all I'll say is this. Tell me, which one is more muqaddas, nabuwat or marjaiyat? Which one is more muqaddas? Which one is more holier? Nabuwat? Marjaiyat? Imamat or marjaiyat? If Shaitan can make false prophets, and false imams, I mean, how hard is it for him to make false ulama? Understand this, my friends. How hard is it for him to make that? I mean, they're masoom, right? Or obviously,
have to work harder to make someone look like a masoom. This is not that hard. It's not that hard for shaitan, you know, and we need to understand shaitan's plot. He wants us to think that he's a fool so that we take him easy. You know, so we don't pay attention to him. Shaitan is not a fool. He knows what he's doing. He's experienced. And that's why we also have to be smart enough to know and recognize who an alim is, as Allah has mentioned in the Quran, an alim is. What is the ideology they thought about alim? This is what we need to understand. Then we won't be misguided. Then we will be very clear, and that will protect us from misguidance, at least from this window. There are other places you can be misguided from, but at least this way, you know, you'll be protected if you have the correct ideology. I'll mention that tomorrow. Here's my conclusion, and we will see that what is the correct ideology, who an alim, how do you recognize one? As Allah has mentioned it, and Ahlul Bayt. We won't be able to go through all the criteria, but I'll give you one or two things that could help us to understand that. So inshallah, we will end over here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use the tawfiq and wisdom to be able to write that. Use the wisdom to understand his guidance, his to the reappearance of Imam, make us his wa akhiru da'wana.